whether we remember that moment or whether it's spread over those early years, even before we can recall. What an incredible story of Christian heritage that's been passed on. Avery, would you come and share your testimony this morning?
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Avery Siebert, and like many others here, I have a typical Christian testimony. I was born and raised in a Christian home, and from a young age, I attended church, youth groups, and Sunday school every week. I accepted Christ in my life when I was 4, but at the time, I had a very incomplete understanding of what that really meant. For a good month after that, I continuously asked Christ back into my heart because I thought that he liked to move around and take vacation days. I had a very basic understanding of Christianity for many years of my life. When I was 16, I joined the leadership program at Southern Alberta Bible Camp called Taleos. Through the group activities and sessions, Taleos greatly impacted my relationship with God and my walk of faith. The program led me in the direction of getting baptized at the end of the summer out in the lake. Following the summer, I put more effort into my relationship with God and began to realize what Christianity meant to me and the importance of it in my life. Last summer, I went on a missions trip to Vancouver to work with homeless people in East Hastings. My eyes were completely open to all the infinite ways that God can work. During that week, I experienced a new feeling of newness in Christ. One night on the trip, we spent an evening just sitting and praying on our own. The majority of the time I spent doodling in my notebook and thinking about things completely unrelated, but God adjusted my focus by sending one of the leaders to come sit with me. She had shared a vision that God had given her about me. There are these hollowed out redwood trees in California, and she pictured me standing in the middle of one, trying to scratch and dig my way out, getting covered in dirt, not realizing that I could just look up and climb out. I've come to know now that life is very much like that. I do everything possible to help myself out of a tough spot, but I'm blind to the fact that I can just look up and ask God to help me out. At the end of our talk, my leader gave me one word that God wanted her to tell me, redeemed. I knew that God wanted me to know that I was redeemed because right in that moment, that song by Big Daddy Weave, Redeemed, began to play. I felt an overwhelming sense of peace and comfort. The lyrics of that song, I am redeemed, you set me free, have been incredibly impactful on me, and I see it as a great reminder that God has something in store for me. One of my favorite verses is Isaiah 44:22. I've swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. This past year has been incredibly difficult for me, both spiritually and physically, due to the issues I've been having with my back. I was so mad at God for quite a while because I felt completely out of control, and everything I tried in order to relieve the pain either didn't work or would make it worse. I was very discouraged, and I didn't know what to do anymore. In January, I got a letter in the mail. Surprisingly, it was from myself. On the mission trip, we wrote ourselves letters that they would send to us in 6 months, and it ended up being perfect timing for me. I was reminded of the story of the redwood trees, and I knew that God had a plan for my pain. God constantly reminds me that he is in control and I don't have to worry so much, which is a little difficult for me, saying that I like to plan everything out. If you ask anyone who knows me, they'll say that I always have a to-do list with me. I have been working on listening to what God has to say rather than doing what I have planned, and I notice that when I don't listen, my back gets a little worse, so I guess I better listen. Which seems a little crazy, but it's God's little reminder to me that he has a plan far better than I could ever plan out myself.
Excellent. Life is a journey. There's no perfect way of moving forward, but there is a perfect Heavenly Father that longs to draw us into real relationship with him and help us experience him in an ongoing way, day by day. So Brian will be baptized, and Avery will be welcomed as a member this morning. And James and Chandra joined our class, though they were baptized some time ago. They can describe how long. Just to see what do we actually go through in the class. And their questions, actually all of them have offered very good insights and questions. It's been a real delight to walk with them. But James and Chandra have also offered to share their testimony at some prodding this morning. So come and share.
Hi, to share a testimony, but I might be stating it strongly. Encouraged, prodded, poked. Good morning. Just before I begin, I just wanted to say we're really fortunate in our church to have an adult Sunday school. What a great opportunity for encouragement, learning, and growth. Over the past few months, James and I attended the baptism and membership class that Pastor Gary facilitated. I really appreciated the chance to examine through adult eyes what baptism and membership in the Mennonite Brethren Church mean to me. It was also a reminder to reflect on my conversion story and to think about my walk with Christ. I've given my testimony in the past. I even found the version I gave at age 13 on the occasion of my baptism in Foothills Gospel Chapel in Pincher Creek, complete with loopy handwriting and spelling errors. The fact that I still have this in my possession may indicate that I'm a candidate for some type of hoarder intervention. But it was a great reminder of what my faith looked like at that point and what I aspired for in my walk with Christ. That long-ago girl had a heart-deep understanding of the love of God for her personally and his delight in responding to her prayers and providing for her needs. That gangly 13-year-old teen had a profound desire to follow her Lord in obedience wherever he might take her life. Fast forward 40 years or so, but who's counting? The person I am now is filled with an overwhelming gratitude for the many ways that God has demonstrated his love for me and for the many ways he's provided for my needs. He's blessed me with James, our daughters, and our son-in-law. He has given wisdom and direction for choices regarding education, career, and finance. He has been hope and strength and refuge during times of sorrow, sickness, and great uncertainty. He has provided Christian fellowship and friendship through family, church, and care group. He daily reminds me that he always listens to my prayers and generously provides. The person I am now is so thankful for God's patience with me because, truth be told, although I still have that profound desire to follow my Lord wherever he might take my life, I thought I'd be better at it at this point. It's humbling after so many years of Christian walk to recognize that there's still so much room for growth, so much room for surrender. So many times that I still feel awkward and gangly in my walk with God. As I stumble heavenward, I am committed to making the daily decision to follow Jesus and trust him with my life. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations 3, 22 to 23.
It's me again. Good morning. My name is James Reimer. I'm husband to Chandra, father to Rachel, who is married to Jason Clausen from Manitoba, father to Rebecca and father to Sophia, and son of H&M Reimer. That's Henry and Marion Reimer. As Pastor Gary mentioned, Chandra and I were, I can't remember if we were invited to be part of this class or whatever. We took this class as part of a refresher. At first, I wasn't going to give my testimony because quite often up here, I'm giving little mini testimonies when I'm up leading the service. But my focus this morning will be on my conversion story and what has made a difference to me in my walk with God since being baptized. I was born a long time ago, and raised in a Christian family. I grew up on a dairy farm north of Coaldale. I've attended this church all my life and now live in Colville with my lovely wife, Chandra, and our, well, two daughters are still at home sometimes, but we also have a great dog and three cats, and you've heard about the dog already today, too. I became a Christian when I was in grade 4. I can remember it very clearly. I had been to club, and so had my sister, and we came home from boys' club and her girls' club, and there was something that had been said at club. I don't remember what it was, but there was something that said. So we sat down, and I very clearly remember sitting down with my mom at the dining room table, and both my sister and I became Christians. That was about grade 4. I was baptized into this church when I was in grade 12. A key verse for me then in my testimony was Philippians 4, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. When I was 14, my mom passed away from cancer. A few years later, God very literally took care of our needs when my dad remarried. He got a wife, and us four kids got a mom. It has the makings of a good Hallmark movie. Anyways, this verse took on particular meaning to me as we journeyed through my first mom's lengthy illness, a time of no mother, and then a new beginning with a new mom. There are many people here today that will always hold a special place in my heart for all the care and concern and prayers they provided during a trying time for our family and extended family. As I scrounged around the house looking for my baptism testimony from over 30 years ago, I did not find it. I'm not as organized as Chandra is. It might be somewhere in the house, probably not. But I did actually find the verse that was given to me by the church at the occasion of my baptism. So it was on a little card typed out. And it was Isaiah 54:10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. After high school, I attended Bethany Bible Institute in Hepburn, Saskatchewan for 3 years. Those were awesome years of having fun, growing leaps and bounds spiritually, and growing into adulthood and independence in a great Christian environment. It was such a great springboard for me to move on into further post-secondary education and then a career. When I finished Bethany, I went to Lethbridge College, became a professional accountant that I admit longingly looked at all the farmers every day as I drove to work in my office. But eventually, soon after that, I got my master's degree and then, got my master's degree and finally landed where God wants me and is using me to influence people, teaching accounting at the Lethbridge College. Every one of us can attest there are ups and downs in life, highs and lows. I have experienced so many blessings, marrying Chandra, three amazing daughters, and now an amazing son-in-law. But I've had my share of lows, too. I'm sure we could all talk for a couple of hours about the highs and lows in our life. But I want to take this second part of my testimony in a different direction. I want to recognize God's literal and figurative provision and love for me. It's been quite literal at times in my life. I've shared up here a number of times about the times we've run into grizzly bears and had them charge us. I've also shared when I preached a few years ago about the cougar that was following me for a long time. Quite often, these are related to my passion for the outdoors. But more often than not, realizing God's provision in my life, his meeting my needs and showing me his unfailing love, come with reflection. It comes with looking back, sometimes short-term, sometimes long-term, like a span of years or even decades, that I realize God's working and his plans and love and guidance for me. When I reflect back, I realize and see how God used and worked through the many things I've been involved in at church. Teaching youth Sunday school for 31 years has been a blessing. Last year, I retired from that. This year, I've been able to be part of two great adult Sunday school classes. Our care group, we love and care so much and have grown with and have been cared for by Brian and Jenny, Nathan and Lori, Les and Tamara, Darcy and Rachel, and Heidi.
I love being able to lead the service several times a month. I have grown being involved in finance here at the church for many years. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our two current pastors and their preaching and modeling Christ-like behavior and attitudes. Thank you so much, Gary and Darren. I also appreciate the impact of several former pastors have had on my life. Tim Clark, I'm looking to see if he's here today. Tim Clark, for showing confidence in me in many ways, including encouraging me to take over leadership of the care group he was leading. Pastor Tyler Hagen, Pastor Randy Clausen, and for sure Pastor Rudy Heidebrecht. I could go on, but as I reflect on the many years since my salvation experience and my baptism, these are some of the things that influenced me and shaped me. It is often through these that God has made himself known to me in very real ways. It is through these that God has fed me, matured me, and blessed me. I want to close with a challenge for you and as much for myself. Kids, go to Sunday school. Well, that sounded way too harsh, didn't it? Okay. Kids, go to Sunday school, clubs, and youth. Parents, make every effort to take your kids to these. Get connected with a care group or start one. Get connected with our pastors. Grow and be challenged by the sermons. Go to Sunday school. Isaiah 54, verse 10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. To say what Rachel said before, aspire to be excited and as energetic to follow and live for God as a dog follows his or her master.
It's good to praise God together, hey? And proclaim his goodness in our lives. Well, two of us are going to go get ready to get wet, and the rest of you are going to sing. We'll be able to hear you from back there. And let's continue to praise and worship our amazing God that we serve. Sounds quiet to me, but maybe you can hear me out there. No? I won't fix it while I'm in the water. I'll just talk loud. I'll talk later. Come on in, Brian. It's baptism is a great way to declare that we want to follow. It's an outward expression. It started way back, even before John the Baptist and Jesus. It was a symbol of a new way of life, a new taking on new values. And it continues to be that today. So it's an outward expression of what's already gone on in life. Come on in to the tank here. Perfect temperature. So, Brian, we've already heard your testimony and your life journeying with Christ, and today it's your desire to be baptized. And so we're going to do that right now, and we'll celebrate this. So, upon confession of your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Good. Right on. Great to witness, eh? The great day, celebration day. Baptism and membership. Sometimes I do this near the beginning of the service, sometimes near the end. I won't be longer than about 2.5 hours here. Oh, wait, we're not in Russia. They're pretty disappointed if it's not a 3 to 4 hour service in Russia. But baptism is a significant event, not only for the individual being baptized, but for the congregation, baptism. And we as Mennonite brethren have put baptism and membership together when we receive Christ, and when we publicly declare it through an act of baptism, a service, we are already members of Christ's universal church as well as Christ's local church, where we learn to live out the one another's of Scripture. I want to read a little bit of Acts chapter 2. I close out our service before I invite those forward who have been involved today to receive their baptism certificate and membership. Acts chapter 2, 36 and 37. This is just before the passage that I want to read. So I'll read this part as well. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is right at the beginning of the organized church. He says, God has made him, that is Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom he crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? So Peter's been preaching here, and the lights come on. They realize what they've done. They've crucified the Son of God, fully man. What should we do in light of where we are right now? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. He's the only one, the only way to have forgiveness. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Repent. Repent and baptism are connected here in this. Forgiveness of sin and receive his Holy Spirit are connected in this passage. And it's for all whom he has called, and for generation to next generation. We've heard some of that today, right? None of the people that bore testimony this morning came to Christ in and of themselves. It involves someone else. Parents and church family and others. And obviously Christ is the way. The next verse is 20. And with many other words, Peter was a long preacher as well, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Added to what? Well, added to the fellowship of believers, right? Where we become members in his body. Received his word and baptism are connected. We receive, we have a minimal understanding at least of who Jesus is. And we receive that word, Jesus is the Christ. In fact, we receive it personally. I need forgiveness of my sins. And then are baptized as a way of identifying with that, signifying what's already gone on inside. That I would yield, as we heard in their testimonies, in an ongoing way to his will, not my own. I trust him above myself. Received his word. When he says here, it's save yourself from this crooked generation. That's not save yourself of your own effort. Save yourself by receiving what Jesus has already done. And then the result is, these last few verses here, starting with 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came over every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They were devoted to at least four things. This is coming to Christ and being baptized. This isn't the end of discipleship. This is the beginning of discipleship. But they had a commitment to receive teaching and to engage in the fellowship of believers and to break bread together. We were talking about that this morning in baptism and membership class. Baptism is usually a one-time decision, an act signifying a new way of a life, a new alignment, new values, new Lord, nor new master residing in life. And the breaking of bread, communion, I point at the communion table that we celebrate regularly, helps us remember in an ongoing way it's about what Jesus has done, not what we do. We don't have a religion where we're trying to earn our way to God. We come to the communion table regularly to remember He is the way and the truth and the life. In Him alone do we have forgiveness of sin and eternal abundant life. In Him alone. And to prayer, to intentional dependence on God, learning to rely on Him and walk in fellowship, in intimacy with Him. These have been summarized in different ways. WIFE is an acronym: worship, instruction, fellowship, and expression. Right? Because it goes on, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. It's tied to being a light, right? You are the light of the world. This isn't you will be. You are. All who know Jesus are the light, and it impacts people around us. Or it ought to. That's the natural flow. Even Israel in the Old Testament was to be that beacon of here's what right relationship with God looks like. And they were supposed to do it in such a way that other nations went, wow, we need that God as well. And we have individuals throughout Scripture that were outside of they weren't born into Israel, but they chose Israel. They chose that same God. And it's to be that way as well. Baptism and belonging are connected. For all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. It's a sign. Baptism is a sign of initiation, of new values, a new way of life, a new righteousness, not of our own. But we take on the righteousness of Christ. So it's a sign of an initiation. It's a beginning of a new direction, new life. It's also a sign of incorporation. Mentioned this a few times. Into the global church, all those who are truly of Christ are part of His body, part of His bride. All the other imagery that we see in Scripture, we're a part of that. But we need to be a part of a local church too, because we can't act out the one another's of Scripture. We can't really grow when we're not connected relationally. Something very powerful about journeying together. We heard lots of that in their testimonies. And baptism and membership is also a celebration. We celebrate what God has done and that somebody has taken hold of that. We celebrate that. It's worth celebrating. For those of us that are of the church, yes, we celebrate and we have a responsibility. Right? These would have been very young believers here in Acts. What should we do? We've heard we've got sin. We've acted terribly. He says, repent, believe, and be baptized. Repent, receive forgiveness, and be baptized as a sign that you have. But who's responsible for those young infants in Christ, that they grow in Christ? They grow in the grace and knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the ones who are more mature. That's why they come to the apostles. That's why people come to clubs and youth and of whatever age, because physical age doesn't matter, but young spiritual people come and go, I need discipling. And so we take on that responsibility. I've thought several times, I know this congregation's done it in the past, they've assigned mentors to everyone who's been baptized. I've wondered, should we do that? I've seen it in other congregations, and sometimes it works really well. Some of those relationships are really, really meaningful, and it helps them grow spiritually. And others are more of a title only and not a real good connection. So if we're going to do it, we better equip our mentors to journey with those that are baptized. We better do some equipping there. But sometimes it becomes organized, and the rest of the congregation kind of sits back and goes, they already got their mentor. That's a travesty. That's not the body of Christ, because it's all of our responsibility to nurture their faith and help them grow and learn to walk in fellowship with one another. Just like some churches, right? If we assign a greeter at the door, some churches have actually become less welcoming when they've assigned greeters, welcomers, to their door. Because they figure, well, now that's handled organizationally rather than organically. So there's a risk to doing that. But maybe it's both and. I don't know. We'll have to keep asking that question. But it's not just about filling a position. It's about walking together as the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, of which we are a part. We've heard some of their testimony. If you don't know some of the people that shared testimony this morning that well, I encourage you to invite them over. Get to know them better. In fact, if there's people sitting around you you don't know that well, invite them over. Get to know them better. We're called. How many times in Scripture does it say encourage one another? Love one another. Well, there's so many one another's. It's done in our homes and in closer relationship where we learn to be authentic with one another. So the people that we welcome into fellowship, let's truly welcome them into fellowship this morning, into relationship, into our lives. And we ask questions and we become a part of their lives. Let's celebrate and then move forward as Christ leads us together. Join me in a word of prayer. I'll invite the ones, Brian and Avery, forward for their certificates, and then we'll have a closing song. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, God, for being the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for opening our eyes that we can see the truth of who you are, Jesus, and enter into vital, growing relationship with you, where we trust you more than we trust ourselves, because you are wisdom. You are love. You are grace, gracious and kind and gentle. And you are the righteous judge. And we're created in your image. We have some of this, but we don't have it all like you do. Help us learn to walk together as your body, as members of you who have been gone from death to life, and to learn from each other what it means to walk in this newness of life, this abundant, eternal life. God, we thank you. Thank you. And we celebrate what you have done in these four people's lives that shared testimony this morning, and what you continue to do in them and in us. Lord, be blessed. We pray in your powerful name. Amen. All right, we'll sing and then I'll invite them up for their cards. To recommit our lives to you. To surrender is a daily process. I thank you for the courage, each one sharing testimony this morning. Brian and Avery joining us in fellowship, membership this morning. We need each other to live out the desire we have. Not just to make a verbal commitment, but to learn how to live that out in specific ways in relationship with you and with each other and in this world we live. Would you help us be a body? Would you encourage Brian and Avery today, God? And lead each of us that we would more and more become, really be your body. Be glorified, God. We praise you. We love you. Amen. Excellent. Brian and Avery, yeah, you may be seated. whatever, and come and welcome these guys into fellowship. Come on up. Good. Welcome, Brian. Awesome. Welcome. Good. Just step down here. People will reach in. That's good.